eighth and final meeting of the Transportation System Plan Policy Advisory Committee meeting going here. Let's go ahead and do roll call. I'll just read down the roster list if you just say if you're in attendance. Jeff Holland.
Here.
Roland Woodcock. Hi, Roland. I see you. Saw your hand. Matthews is not here. Lyle Matson.
Here.
Bren McCormick. I don't see Bren on the list. Thomas Follett.
Here.
Rosa Coppola. No Rosa. Judy Cool.
I'm here.
Hey, Judy. Ralph Breitenstein.
I'm here.
Hey, Ralph. Roy Kenyon.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks, Roy. Bob Berman.
Here.
Thanks, Bob. Linda Neigebauer.
Here.
Rich Baloney. I didn't see him on the list. And our mayor, Dean Sawyer. He's been out of commission for a little bit. So I think we'll try to catch anybody else who comes in as the meeting goes to flag them so we know that they were in attendance. So next up would be the meeting agenda. Does anybody have any comments on the meeting agenda? Okay. Next item would be approval of the minutes from the January 27th meeting. I'd entertain a motion on that.
This is Ralph. I'll move we approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thanks, Lyle. It's been moved in second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none. Minutes have been approved. So next on the agenda, we have the TSP decision-making process ahead, and then we'll be moving into a discussion of the changes that were made in the latest draft of the TSP. Next steps, and then we have public comment. And we did upload emails we received today, several of them. If you have a chance to look at the agenda, you'll see that they've been uploaded for you to take a look at. And I have one where I'll be reading it when we get to public comment at the request of the person who provided those comments. With that, I think I'm going to turn it over to Carl. He's got a PowerPoint presentation put together to kind of walk us through the next parts of the agenda.
Okay, thanks, Derek. Good to see you all. Remind me, Derek, do I project that from here? Is that where I do?
Yeah, you would be doing that from there. You have share screen?
Oh yeah, I've got all that. I just, you know, trying to remember how we did this. Let's see. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, and then hang on. Get there. There we go. Is that view okay on your end?
Yes, I see it. And I'll know for the record, Rich Baloney's coming in. Hey, Rich.
All right. Well, it's good to see you all. So Derek already laid out basically what we're doing tonight. Appreciate your feedback on the last effort. So we've tried to address many of those things at this point. So let me get into it. So the focus tonight is to talk a little bit about the steps ahead, but mostly to spend our time talking about what's changed between the last draft that you've seen and this draft that was posted a couple days ago. And hopefully we're going to hit the highlights of the bigger issues that were mentioned in the last discussion. And we can talk about that as you see fit to see if there's any other work or attention needs to be given to that. That's the main focus of our discussion tonight. So this is the schedule as to where we're at right now. We have completed, this will be the final Project Advisory Committee meeting, and then we'll be ready to move into the adoption process sometime next month. I don't think dates have been set yet as to when exactly that'll begin. And yet to be determined how many sessions will the Planning Commission and Council will be required to get this through, but that's the process that lies ahead at this point. Let's see. So the other thing that's happening, Derek initiated an update to the website to keep that information current with the latest materials that have been generated through this process. So that'll be updated, I would assume, soon, right, Derek? I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be updated coming out of this meeting.
Okay. All right. And so that'll address the issues you see here on this slide and lay out the dates that'll be set up in advance. Targeted right now, beginning in March, and may span April and May, depending on the length of the discussion that you all think needs to be done for this. So that's what's ahead. So into what we call the adoption draft. I know there's no summary on the draft at this point, but we'll definitely get that in there. So we're going to try to cover in this presentation the discussion and what we thought were the kind of the major pieces that came out of our last discussion and some of the feedback that we got from staff in between. So I'm going to approach this a lot like we did last time, where we're just going to kind of walk through each chapter and kind of hit the highlights. And I guess the right thing to do is maybe pause after each chapter and see if you all have comments, because it'd be easier to go about it that way. So the first two chapters, chapter one, by the way, is the summary that hasn't been written yet, but it's a summary that basically contains a overview of the pieces that follow. So a lot of the edits in chapters two and three were text and grammar edits, either provided by you all or the staff. We had some mapping updates for a lot of the city limits, and we also wanted to include the latest UGB edition that was done near 36th, I believe. And a few other things that are noted on the slide here, we had this figure 21. If you're looking at your copy of the last draft, that the statistics that were shown in that little box there were sorely miscalculated. So we updated those calculations, and those are reflected accurately now. So this is kind of the warm-up couple of chapters, because the meat comes in the next chapters after this. But I'll pause here for a second and see if y'all have any questions about just these first two chapters. Sounds quiet, so I'll move on. Maybe. Oops, I moved too fast. Yeah, there we go. All right, so chapter four is the description of the design and management principles. That's where you see the street cross-sections, the trail cross-sections, a lot of engineering details about what the facilities will look like that are built from here, this point forward. So the slide here just highlights where a lot of those changes happen. We made some edits to the functional classification maps, which again is the hierarchy from, you know, your local streets to your collector streets and arterial streets in the city system. A few edits to the truck routes, spent more energy on the cross sections. Now, if you recall last time, we introduced the idea of looking at another couple options for local streets in the city, something that was narrower than what the conventional standard was, which was 36 feet. So we introduced some narrower sections, and I'll show those in a second. But also wanted to note that we've coordinated this effort with the fire department, so that has their concurrence at this stage. And then we at long last got the information on the storm drain and management section that's going to be most applicable to Agate Beach, but it could well apply to other portions of the city as well. So that's the quick overview of the pieces that changed in that chapter. The next slide just shows the narrower local street options that'll be available, and these will be applied in the city as appropriate based on, you know, we set criteria about traffic volumes and those kinds of constraints as to where it makes the most sense to apply these narrower sections. So that, I believe, is, let's see, somebody's asking a question. Is that right? Let's see. You want to take these chat questions now, Derek? Does that make sense?
How about we take the NEFWAY one when we get to projects? Because you're going to be touching on some of the other projects as well.
All right, let's do that. So as far as Chapter 4, I believe that's the last slide, right? Yeah, that was the end of Chapter 4. So any questions about Chapter 4, which is primarily cross-sections and basically the prototypical facility designs for new improvements going forward? All right, well, let me move on then. I think it didn't quite go right. Okay, Chapter 5, this is where we test different solutions. Called it project development and evaluation, so we went through, spent a lot of energy on different solutions on 101 and 20. I think the biggest difference between the version you had prior to the last meeting and the version you have this meeting is that we're carrying forward the two solutions on 101, one being the short couplet that was recommended previously, but we also carry forward the two-way highway on its current alignment as an alternate option. And the thinking is that those will, the decision in terms of a preference coming out of the end of the process will be determined through the Planning Commission and the City Council hearing process. That's the thinking, right, Derek?
That is correct.
So the hope is by the time we actually get around to adopting this plan that there'll be a preferred solution for that highway section. Not to say that the other one will still be mentioned and that information will be available, but the city will take a position on which one is preferred. So a couple of other points on this slide to make is that regardless of which alignment or what solution is done, the improvements will be made consistent with ODOT's current standards, so it'll look different than what's out there today. If the one-way couplet is included, we talked about this last meeting, the notion of including Benton Street as one possible link for that as a route to get for the northbound side of the couplet up to US 20 eastbound without going through the 101-20 intersection. That's still on the table as an option to be included in that couplet way of thinking. Any questions about the 101 discussion specifically? So far, so good. It's a very quiet group, gotta say.
I believe this is consistent with where we ended the last conversations.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
So one of the more vigorous discussions last time was the 101-20 intersection. And we agreed to look at alternatives to what was presented to date. And we'll show that here in, I think it's the next slide or maybe a few after this, I can't recall now. Not the next slide. So these are the two solutions for the 101. You've seen these slides before, so this is where the northbound direction veers over onto 9th Street, beginning at about Abbey, and then picks back up back at Angle. So you're taking the one-way northbound on the 9th Street, and then what's the existing highway alignment will just be serving for that stretch southbound traffic only. So these statistics you've seen before, this is a repeat of that information. And then we've got, I guess that was it. Wait, what happened to this? Oh yeah, somehow we skipped over this. So that's the other option that's being carried forward for that section of 101, where you're upgrading the existing highway to provide more space for the businesses, basically for the sidewalks and the accommodations in front of the businesses. We're giving them more space primarily by taking out the on-street parking there and basically reallocating that space for other uses. Then the cross section below that is what the 9th Street would look like as a part of that couplet. not couplet. As part of that improvement, you'd have to upgrade 9th Street to include bike facilities, because there isn't, and under this concept, there isn't space on the highway to provide those quality bike facilities. So this concept would relocate those bikeways down there. But this isn't new information, this is old information. So let's move on to chapter 6, which is where we spent some time. Spent some time on the project maps in terms of reorganizing how the project map information was presented. It was an awful lot of information, especially for the downtown area. So we divided them into two sets of maps, one for walking and biking and one for motor vehicles. And we think it does a much better job of explaining the story for those systems, but I'd be interested to hear your feedback on that as well. The other main highlight of this feature or this section is discussion about different ways of handling the 10120 intersection. And so we provided new sketches for you to see, and those were available before the meeting. So hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at those. So this is the one we talked about last meeting. So what would happen if improvements at this location were shifted to the east? So in the end of the design process, the decision was made that the east side was the right side. That's confusing. So the east side would be the preferred way to do this improvement. So this is a more to scale illustration of what that could possibly look like. So a couple of warnings to note here. Number one, we're not planning on being quite as impactful as shown here on the southeast corner, you know, in front of the Walgreens property. We'd have to come up with a solution that was less impactful than that. And we've already got ideas about what that could look like. So not to be careful when you see images like this, don't think that this is the final answer. This is a better rendition of what it could look like. So that's the purpose of the illustration at this stage. So if you slide things to the east, that would be an image that would represent that. The one also the thing to note on this illustration that was not considered in the one that you've seen so many times before this is this actually also provides not just space for a second southbound turn lane on the north leg, but it also provides space for bikeways on street. So the additional width of the 101 edge to edge is about 30 feet in total. So the other way of doing this, or one obvious other way to do this from a design point of view, is to balance the widening on both sides of the highway. This is more consistent with the images that you've seen in the past as a starting point of thinking about how this could work. And that's where you can see the impacts basically on all four corners to one degree or another. Same concept on the highway itself, but in terms of what the center line of that facility is, obviously makes a big difference in terms of adjacent property impacts.
Earl, quick question. Yes, on option one, can you go back to that for a second?
Sure.
I see there's still some red lines. It looks like the sidewalk in front of Lyle's property. Can you talk about that a little bit? What that impact would be?
Well, I'm sure they'd replace and get the sidewalk up to the current standards at a minimum, right? I mean,
what do the two red lines represent then, I guess?
It's the front and back of the sidewalk.
Oh, okay. All right. That's not a travel lane of any sort.
No. The red lines are the sidewalks, but that's not clear. Sorry about that.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that was not clear.
So adjacent to the red lines is where the bike lane is, which wasn't on the diagram that we provided earlier. Then there's the two southbound through lanes, two left turn lanes, two northbound through lanes, a bike lane, and another sidewalk. So the sidewalk that is consistent with ODOT standards now is wider than the sidewalks that are out there on the street. So those would have to be rebuilt as a part of a project like this. Does that help? So just to draw your attention to the southeast corner, there's already been discussion about what we could do there that's different than what's illustrated here, because it's obviously not desirable to have that significant of impact to that property. So we come up, one of the things we're considering is that's why we mentioned the Benton connection from the couplet, because that would give us an opportunity to reduce the demand for that northbound right turn. If that connection were included in this overall design, you would reduce the demand and then reduce the need for a separate right turn lane there, which would in turn reduce the impact of that property. And so that would be something that would be considered as a part of the preliminary design process. They would figure out ways to minimize those impact and reduce those costs. But this is just shown here just to illustrate the general concept. So that's one thing that we're aware of, and that's one thing that would be looked at if this thing were to go further.
Carl, this is Lyle. Can I have a couple of questions?
Sure, go ahead.
The bike lanes, I can't really answer in my mind how much of 101 through Newport has bike lanes on it already.
2 miles, that's it.
So would these bike lanes be connecting to a bike lane anywhere?
Not initially, no, but the policy is when there's an improvement on the highway that you incorporate those as part, you know, kind of doing incremental improvements toward the ultimate solution. Now, it could be one of the findings of the design process could be that that's not the best place, that's not the best solution for bike facilities. You could end up providing that on something parallel to the highway. Kind of like what we talked about on 20. We talked about doing improvements on 20, but using Northeast first as the bike way of choice rather than trying to put the bike lanes on 20. So,
yeah, that would make a lot more sense. I don't know if that's a recommendation we could throw in there, but it would just seem to me that it would make more sense to not have bikes on 101. I think the preference of most bike riders is to not be on 101, but I don't know that. I'm not.
Right.
I don't do that for a living, so I can't answer that. The other question is, and this again is another question because I'm such a novice at this, we have these pedestrian walkways across 101 twice, once on each side of the stoplight and then once they're on 20. And those, when those have people on those, they really hinder what's going on. Is there any option to relocating some cross sections away from that heavy intersection?
You said cross section, but do you probably mean crosswalks, right, Lyle?
Crosswalks, yes.
Well, yeah, that's something that could be addressed at the time of the design. I mean, there's lots of cases where crosswalks on all four legs are not provided for various kinds of design and safety reasons. All we've done in this sketch is just kind of mimicked what's out there. And so it could be decided later on that it's not appropriate to have crosswalks on all four legs. But for us, it's too early to say.
Sure. Well, because of my location, I've seen multiple accidents out there. And it would seem like it'd be safer for people if they had a better way of crossing the street than that busy intersection.
But yeah,
that's something for you guys to look at. It'd be worth talking about.
That easily is the busiest intersection in the city. There's really no comparison. Other questions about these sketches?
Well, I just wonder about a next step. Let's say 3, 4, 5 years down the line, the funds are allocated to do this project. Then there's a design phase. What is the public component of that design and approval?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You want me to take that one, Carl?
Yeah, I was going to say Derek or James could probably speak to that.
Yeah, I'll speak to it on the city side, and James may have some thoughts relative to ODOT and how they would structure or what kind of engagement they would be looking for. But there certainly would be public engagement on any kind of design of a project of that magnitude, you'd be looking at some pretty significant public engagement when you're very early in the design process. And then as that design process evolves and is, then you would start to wind that engagement piece down because you're then locking into a particular solution. So there would be pretty robust outreach again up front while you're doing kind of the preliminary design and are making changes. But then once you get to a point where there's general agreement on a design, that outreach piece would shut down somewhat because you got to move then forward with the preferred design that comes out of that process. James, you have any comments?
I just add that it would be scoped first and you'd have a view of what that scoping would result in before you went any further. So this is very preliminary.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can we move on then?
Can you hear me? This is Rich.
Yeah, Rich.
So we got two designs, A and B, for the intersection here. What happens? How does that work? Is it both designs going to move forward to the Planning Commission for City Council for their decision on which way they want to go?
At this point, I believe all we have in there is the project to do the highway improvement and what its order of magnitude cost would be.
Right.
We don't have the specific diagrams in the TSP.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I've got some slides later, but basically, you know, part of the engineering design process, once this project is actually funded and moves into the phase where they are doing engineering work, they do an alternative design process to figure out the best way to address this problem. They usually don't figure that out yet because, number one, you don't have enough information to do a good and fair job of it. You need to get a survey done of that intersection to know exactly where the property lines and the utilities are and the impacts that will be created by whatever solution you impose on it. At this stage of the planning process, we don't know a lot of those answers. So there would be an alternative design process because what we're deciding at this stage is we want to increase the capacity of the southbound left turn movement. That's what we want to do. And so how you accommodate that, there's a lot of variability in terms of the shape of this intersection to make that happen. So that happens later on, typically.
Okay, so my only concern was I didn't want to show up at a hearing and say, hey, your committee said they didn't really care which way the 200, there's two options, and they really didn't say that they liked option one or option two. It was kind of left up for the designers to figure it out, and because I think most of the people would be interested in the one you changed, which we appreciate you doing, would be option A. I may be wrong, but
could that
be construed?
I think it's fair to make statements that there's a preference for one or the other. There's no harm in that, but there's just not enough information to make a conclusive decision that that's the best fit for this location.
Yeah, I agree with that. I understand that part. I just didn't want to get it to the council or to the planning commission or the deal that, 5 years from now, the committee didn't really have a care when, you know, you were on the committee and you didn't really care. You didn't really say anything about it. Just wanted to note it someplace that we did like, at least I think most of the committee likes your option A that you changed, which I appreciate you doing.
And to be jokingly, I'll say this, but, you know, if somebody who represented the property in the northeast corner were on this committee, we might have a different conversation about that, right? You know, once they see this, if that becomes the preferred solution, it's a different style of conversation altogether. But, yeah, I mean, this is the work that is done as a part of the preliminary design process is to sort this out. And hopefully this conveyed it more clearly than the crude diagram we had before. Because this is actually to scale, you know, the lane lines and all that stuff is laid out to scale, so you get a better understanding.
And I appreciate you listening to us and putting us online. Thank you.
Well, yeah, no problem. All right, any other questions about these sketches? Bob, you doing okay? All right. Let's see. So these are the slides from last time, but basically there's a process ahead of you from taking a crude sketch like this into a real project. And there's a lot of trade-off evaluations, and basically in terms of how can they best achieve the design they're seeking with a reasonably lowest cost and least property impact. That's the objective of any good project development process. So this is, I snagged this from an ODOT document called the Blueprint for Urban Design. So this is the life cycle of a project from its beginning, which is in the top up here where it says transportation planning. That's where we are. We're in transportation planning. And what between now and actually going to construction, you have to compete against lots of other projects around the state to get the funding. Then you have to move through this whole design process. And you can see down here where you have many packages and many steps of the design process ahead that before it actually becomes a, reality at this location. So just a fair warning that they are comfortable in taking this from a crude concept like we have it into a finished product, but there's many steps ahead between what we're showing here and what would actually be built. I don't know if that's helpful or not, but it's good for us because it helps us give perspective that, you know, the decisions we're making here are it's not the end of the thinking. There's more thinking ahead. All right, the last chapter, implementation, there wasn't much to say there except that we needed to clarify that there was the local gas tax initiative that was put forward did fail, and so we just made it clear in the text that happened. So that's the kind of the highlights of the major chapter edits, I believe. What's next? So we've got some language that you put in there, Derek, that we want to jump to that.
I think you probably want to do that at the end, if that's okay.
That's what I figured, so that's why I was pausing.
Why don't we go ahead and take some of the comments in chat, Carl, and then I think the first one was from Councilor Parker, what's being proposed for pedestrian and bicycle improvements on Neff Way. And that is in there as a bike lane improvement project, as I recall. That's, I believe, BL-19 is the project for that.
Thought it was a bike route.
Is it a bike route? Sorry, excuse me, bike route.
I think so. Yeah, that's what's being shown. I mean, it's the way it's in there currently. It's part of the route that connects you up to Coast Street and up up through the Nye District area. So let's see. The next question from Janet. Lots of discussion last meeting about bike access around 101 and Herbert.
In the vicinity of.
Oh, okay.
Now we have a number of different projects. So the question are there projects in there that could be implemented that would put bikes on 101? Yes, there are projects in there that could be implemented to to create a separated bike lanes on US 101. I believe it's SBL2 and SBL3.
Right.
But there are also projects in there on parallel routes. So it's keeping options open, basically. So you have, for example, Neff has projects for bike lanes on both sides, which would be a parallel route, along with infill on the sidewalk gaps. So those are projects, I think, SW13 and BL2. And so as this is a master plan, we're not, on a number of the bike and ped projects, they're not, you have a range of different projects. I would note that those on NEF are on the fiscally constrained list. So those are the ones that we expect we'd be able to fund. So we'd expect we'd be able to fund the parallel routes in the planning period. We don't expect we'd be able to fund the ones along 101, but we have a number for them should that be a priority at some point in time, just as we have a number for a lot of other projects, such as a ferry across the bay and things of that nature. Should they be a priority, or should there be an opportunity where there's momentum behind those projects, we at least would have them in concept in the transportation plan, which is important when it comes to securing other funds, state or federal.
Right. Let's see. The other half of that question, Chapter 4, freight routes to and from the, I guess, is that Front Street?
That'd be the, I think it's from the Bayfront.
Oh, from the Bayfront. Who actually drives trucks? Okay. Access to Highway 101 in Nederland is more problematic. Okay.
Can you speak to how the freight route mapping was done, Carl, and some of the work on the freight side of it?
Well, let's see. I know, Kevin, you're online. You want to try to take the freight route discussion?
What was the question again, Carl?
Let's see. This freight routes to and from the Bayfront should be reviewed by those who actually drive trucks. Apparently, what's designated as a local freight route on our map doesn't match up with what happens in reality. I think that's basically the comment.
On the west side.
Yeah, I think the freight network is developed, you know, just looking at the industrial based lands and you know, kind of the general routes to it. And typically they're trying to follow the collector street system. So and that's how they're developed. So I'm trying to pull up the map to see what this question is about. But yeah, anyway, that's just kind of the short story of how they're developed in the first place.
So is a comment saying there's a one designated route that probably isn't a good candidate for a freight route? Is that what the comment
is? The access to, I suspect that on the maps, Nederland is depicted as the access to 101 on the west side coming out of the Bayfront.
Okay.
And the comment here is that drivers will often take 13th and Harbor, which is another route up to 101.
Okay.
This has to do with the west side of the Bayfront. More Drive is the freight route on the east side, and that's where the trucks go.
Okay, so
it's something to look at.
Hey, okay. Derek, Janet's recommendation was ask the trucking industry to give their direct experience on best routes. But yeah, I think 13th is better than Nederland.
Okay, all right. Well, that's something we can look at. So I'm trying to recall, I mean, even though we're showing them on maps as locally preferred freight routes, I'm trying to recall if those are actually signed or designated anywhere. Are they?
I don't believe the city has designated freight routes previously.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Carl, it mainly is just design requirements. So like it impacts the lane width. So instead of having the typical 10-foot lane, it's a 11-foot lane. So it's just a local requirement when you're doing your cross section.
Okay. Right. So if we were doing new work on those streets and it's shown in the TSP as a freight route, we would need to plan for wider travel lanes.
Right. So that's the primary purpose here, is kind of guide and future improvements on those routes as opposed to directing trucks one way or the other. Right. I mean, that's not really the intent of that designation. But yeah, we should make it sync up with what's happening in reality, though. That's correct.
Yeah. So I have a question. Is NEF Way really being considered as a freight route?
Not NEF. No.
No.
Good.
We were talking about...
That was for bikes. That was for bikes.
That's for bikes. It's a bike
that
route.
That sounds like a much better match.
No, we're not doing that. So then I think we're down to Janet's comment about bikes on 101 and that it's not the best place to be for bikes. And I think in generally that's true. I mean, if you look at the bike network in the city, it's predominantly off the highway. What we're trying to recognize is that when we do improvement projects on the highway, the state is asking for us to also provide some accommodations for bikes as a part of those projects. So for those segments where we are expecting to do improvements, we're doing our best to try to provide bikes in those segments. So for example, with the short couplet on 101, if you look at those cross sections, you'll see that there is a very significant bikeway laid out in the northbound and the southbound direction. So in the southbound, it's on the current 101. In the northbound direction, it's on 9th. But it wouldn't necessarily continue on up 101 where it resumes back to a five-lane section because there's no space for it, right? So it's mainly on the segments that are going to target it for some scale of improvements. Those are the ones that are most subject to that kind of a change. The rest would remain as is. And if you look, like I said, if you look at the bike system map, we're relying heavily on the grid system that provide parallel routes for many of the bikeways. Which I guess is consistent with Thomas's comment from the bike committee about keeping it off the highway. Let's see, it would be helpful to see those concept illustration without the bike lanes. Oh, yeah. So the 101-20, right, without the bike lanes. Yeah, well, right. I mean, if we pull the bike lanes off, that basically shaves 14 feet off the width. So, like, because I mentioned, I think, in the comments there that we're basically adding effective change of about 30 feet to the wall-to-wall cross-section of the current north leg. So if you took out the bike lanes, that the extra width would be about half. It'd be less of an impact, regardless of which way that it ended up landing. That's, again, a decision yet to be made as a part of the design process. Because the first priority for ODOT, and James, feel free to speak on this, is to do your best to try to incorporate bike facilities as a part of those improvements. Did I do a good job explaining it, James?
Yeah, that's fair. We start with bike lanes, and then if we can't accommodate them, then we move to a parallel network and make sure that the parallel network can accomplish those routes. The idea is that most of your destinations are on 101 and ultimately want to have access to those by bike.
Okay. And then there's some comments trying to make sure we're getting the right bike project number, whether it be BL19 or BR19, because I know NEF is BR19.
Correct.
I don't know which one BL19 is.
I think that was just a question whether or not NEF was BL19. It's not. It's BR19.
Okay. So that's all the chat comments. Is there other folks that have comments or questions about that?
Yeah, if I might, this is what it is, this table of all the projects. In retrospect, it may have been better to group them by either geographic area or function. I'm specifically thinking of the whole Ocean View and that whole connection and all the way up to the highway. But the point I wanted to ask about is, has there been any, and I didn't have time to do it, grouping saying these six projects make up our whole Ocean View approach, and then taking a look at those, do they all have the same priority and constrained or unconstrained categorization? And I'm almost sure I saw one like INT3. It says it's unconstrained, and I'm sure some of the others are financially constrained, but right. It would be a shame to complete all those, you know, end up basically with more traffic on Ocean View, and yet not improve that intersection of 101 and Ocean View. So some consistency checks to make sure that if a group of projects is either all financially constrained or all unconstrained, I think would be very helpful. And I'd be glad to volunteer to do that, but it'd be very time consuming. The other comment I had was there a couple of instances. Well, when I use the term bike route, I usually have it be from A to B with some purpose at the end. And there are several instances of putting in bike routes that just end up in a residential neighborhood on a dead-end street. And I didn't quite see the logic in that and the value just to have some extra miles of bicycling available when it doesn't actually go anywhere. So if you would comment on those two, I'd appreciate it.
Well, the first, yeah, I mean, we might want to think about a more succinct way, or I should say a useful way of organizing the project tables, because you're right. Right now, they're grouped basically by project type, right? It kind of cascades down. All the projects are kind of in order by their code definition. So one idea would be to group them by, you know, consistent with an index map that we've set up for north, downtown, and south, basically. And at a minimum, that might be a helpful way to do it so that you don't have to scurry through a bunch of pages to find the projects you're looking for. We can certainly do that. The other one, I think that's, so that would be like sub map kind of organization, right? So the ocean, like the Ocean View Nye question, and making sure, although I think they're all on the same map, so that might partly sub. Oh, you were talking about having them all on the same funding level. Right.
Also that, yeah. I mean, some kind of grouping that says this is our what we're going to be doing with Ocean View.
Right.
And then project, individual projects, A, B, C, D. And then among the entire group, they all should have the same funding level and priority.
It's an excellent point, Bob. And, you know, I do know that thought was put to that as that was compiled, and I can use the 20 and more area as an example, because I actually have gone through that package of different segmented projects that come together as a whole, and that worked out on the fiscally constrained list. But I haven't gone through all of the potential different alignments that could make up projects. As you said, that would be very time consuming. We will, at the end of the day, have all of this stuff in a digital format, and we can produce maps of, you know, of any alignment. And we also have the ability to, down the road, adjust any of those projects from unconstrained or fiscally constrained if we find a hiccup that we missed as part of this process.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. You know, the rather random assignment of these codes, INT1 and all the others, that really, you know, doesn't really add anything to the document, having it in that order. That order doesn't mean anything. It's just whatever they came up with. So that's a possible improvement to the document itself.
So geographic order would be better, Bob, right?
I think certainly geographic order, and where appropriate, a group of projects that makes up an effort of some sort.
Oh, okay. Well, there's not too many of those, so at least I don't think so. We'll see. I don't know. Kevin may have a different opinion about that, but... So I'm noticing the comment from Ryan Parker about the lighthouse to lighthouse. I know that was a comment from the last time, and I thought we looked at that. I can't remember where we ended up on that.
It's in, and it is an identified project. In fact, we actually have a grant application in the works.
No, I mean, in terms of the way they're flagged, the projects are flagged or noted in the TSP. That was the thought was to make sure it's clear what the package of projects are that account for the lighthouse to lighthouse.
Yeah, that's the same kind of situation I was talking about.
Right. But I know that was raised last time. I don't know that we addressed it fully.
Okay. Well, I understood Brian's comment to me. It says any incorporation here on the lighthouse to lighthouse multi-use path, this will be a huge win for the community.
Oh, and, I see. And, yeah, and so, it's definitely in there.
It is in there. And we do have actually a grant application pending on that.
Right.
Yeah, and there are two specific projects that are tied to that actually tie into each other. And they both mentioned the trail within the project description, TR3 and TR8.
Okay, we might want to make that a little more obvious, I guess. Okay.
And did you want to comment on the bike route to nowhere?
Or should we make a sign like that that says bike route to nowhere?
Well, I can comment on it. I did see that comment when we were reviewing the document. A lot of those bike routes are connecting to neighborhoods that actually have people in them and uses in them. And it's just a way to provide the option to let people driving down those streets know that there are going to be bicyclists, or there's a possibility of them, so that they can at least be aware of them, at least add a level of comfort for those cyclists, because otherwise there's not going to be anything just because it's a dead end street. Particularly some of the locations, there's some higher density housing, some apartment complexes that have potential for at least having some cyclists out there. So that was the reason why those projects were identified in the first place.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
And I could touch on the intersection 3 one that you mentioned. I did see that comment as well. The rest of the ones on Ocean View, those are all tied together. They're all frontage constrained. The one that was not tied together was the turn lane once you approach the highway. And the reason why that was not included initially in the frontage constraint was because it scored much lower against the evaluation criteria. So it didn't end up being one of the ones that were pushed into the frontage constraint list when we're trying to do that funding exercise. So that was the reason why it was not put in there. I understand, the logic of putting it together, but I think that most of the Ocean View improvements are mainly to improve the cycling along the route for ped and bikes, as opposed to getting more vehicles on it. So it wasn't tied in with those other projects, if that makes sense.
Okay, other comments to share and discuss at this point? I think we've covered the ones that are in the chat.
Yeah, if it's all right, if we could go. Okay, I'm going to let Bryn in. Looks like she's trying to get in. If we could take public comment and then go back to next steps, which includes the PAC recommendation, which is kind of where Carl's at with the slides. Is everybody comfortable moving into public comment at this point? And if that's the case, I'd like to touch on what we received earlier in writing. It's in your packets, and then maybe open the floor to those who are in attendance who may wish to share their thoughts as well.
Excuse me, Derek.
Yeah.
In what package?
We had four comments that came in today that we uploaded to the agenda.
Oh.
So you should be able to see them.
Well, I downloaded it yesterday. So,
it's just the nature of public comments coming in right before meeting, which is, I've got them. I'll touch on them. I'll summarize them briefly. I have one that I think I mentioned earlier that I'll be reading verbatim at the request of the person who provided the comment. One was from Rex Capri asking for strong consideration to Northwest Nye Street as the most logical north-south bypass to the highway and for bike ped improvements. We've talked about that a little bit. I believe Rex is here, so if he wishes to elaborate, you'll have a chance to do that under public comment. We also received an email from Martin Desmond, who couldn't attend tonight, but wanted the group to know that there are a number of federal grant opportunities coming out for transportation grants. And he pointed to one, which used to be what we called the Tiger Grant Program, right, coming from the federal government. That's now open for projects. That one tends to orient more towards, larger projects. So go big or go home, and highly competitive. And under the current federal requirements, very oriented to projects that are going to have greenhouse gas reductions, a positive impacts on the climate generally, multimodal, that kind of thing. Comment from Aaron Bretz on behalf of the Port of Newport, expressing their support for the work that's been done to date and that they look forward to working with the city, particularly on projects in and around South Beach that affect their facilities. And then the last one was from Jan Kaplan as an individual, not as a council member. I'm going to go ahead and read this one because you did ask that I do that. My name is Jan Kaplan. I live at 35 Northwest High Street in Newport, and I'm writing to express my personal opinion. I note that I'm not writing as a city councilor or representing the Nye neighbor Neighborhood Association, of which I'm a board member. After review of the TSPI, I have several concerns. First, the document notes the need for the plan to address future needs to the extent that they can be envisioned. The description of Nye Beach on page 8 does not seem to recognize the looming transportation issues for the neighborhood. There's a significant planning and development of workforce housing in Nye. I'm very supportive of this development, but need to point out that workforce housing is intended to bring working professionals, teachers, medical workers, et cetera, to the area and provide them the ability to commute to work. These developments are intended to significantly increase density in the projects thus far placed multiple units in what were previously single family lots. So therefore predictable that the majority of these units will bring at least one and probably more than one vehicle into the traffic and parking areas. Two, there is real discussion going on about the possibility of seeking formal recognition as a cultural district for Nye Beach. It's easy to foresee increased capacity and use at the Performing Arts Center, increases in galleries and music venues, restaurants, nearby hotels, and utilization of vacation rentals. All of these will generate interest in Nye Beach as well as Newport in general. The TSP should I'm just going to read it verbatim. The TSP should what the additional traffic and parking issues will be over the next two decades, or should point out, I think is what he's going for there. Three, I'm concerned that public outreach was severely hampered by the pandemic despite real efforts by the planning group. Documents available online were very technical and dense. I'm registering my concerns and hope that traffic and parking issues in Nye Beach will receive additional consideration. The additional efforts will be brought into educating the citizens of Newport on the plan, and sensitivity will be utilized in seeking public participation. And then even though it's late in the process, getting it right is more important than getting it finished. That's what we had in terms of the written public comment that came in before the meeting. Any others? Nyla?
Thank you. I have raised Sand Bale Circle intersection with 101 at every meeting I have attended. We have the largest number of children in our section of town, the most accidents. The prior public works director described our area as traffic chaos. If you pull up to the stop sign, you pull up to the side of a car in the summer. Carl said that he would add it to the list. To my understanding, has not been considered. Derek, you said we're not doing it in terms of a signal, and I want to know who's we. That's a correct question directed at you, Derek, right now.
So now, as was discussed the last meeting, that is a signal at San Bale and 101, not in the plan, because it does not meet and would not meet state warrants for that. And it's not going to fall down on the highest priorities relative to some of the other intersections along 101 that are identified for improvement.
Okay, so who is we? Is that you that's made this decision?
That's come through this process. That's why it's not in the plan.
But has my request been discussed or considered by the group? I don't believe it has.
Your comments have been considered by the group, and your comments have been made and of record, and the consultants have had the benefit of those and had an opportunity to consider them as well.
But it has not been an issue that has been discussed by the group. It's pro forma. I sit here and talk about what I want to say, and then everybody moves on. It has not been discussed by the group. When you say we're not doing it, we have a public meetings law, and I don't think that there's been any public discussion by this group about that project request. There's just been me talking about it and moving on. It's been dismissed out of hand repeatedly. Is that accurate?
No. We discussed that at the last meeting specifically, and we shared specific reasons as to why that project wasn't on the list. And I wasn't the only one who spoke at the last meeting on that issue. So,
who is the other person besides me?
Jeff?
Yes, I'll volunteer that it's been raised by, this issue has been raised since the first, almost the first meeting, as far as I can recall, and it's been discussed and basically not considered a priority. There are problems getting out on many streets along Highway 101, and this is one where it's if you come out, like many streets, you might just have to turn right instead of left and go find a place to turn around. That's not uncommon. But I remember it being discussed, and you, Nyla, you've expressed it at length in several meetings, and we have addressed it at those meetings. It may be not addressed in the manner in which you wanted, because it hasn't, other than you, I don't recall anyone joining with you in the call for some action with respect to that location.
And I recall you responding, and I recall Derek responding, but it has never been addressed as an issue like these other issues that are in the TSP. And it has never been rejected by the entire group. There's been no vote taken about it. There's been no group discussion about it. There's been you minimizing what I bring up. There's been me talking about it. And there's been Derek saying, we're not doing it. That's what the process has been, as far as I can see. And there have been no documents. Carl said he was going to add it to the list. I haven't seen it on any documents ever. I've brought that up too. And the only discussion that keeps happening is what I bring. And my point is, there's been no engagement by the entire group with this issue ever. There's been your rebuttal, Derek's statement that it's not going to happen. That's been it. So this is like pro forma public participation. And I would support the last comment that was made about how it's been very hard to participate in this process. There was a meeting I missed because nobody gave me notice, and I asked to be put on the list to be notified. And I tried really hard to keep up with this. And for the general public, I don't think people even know this is going on in the main, the majority of the citizens of Newport. But and your comments, your rebuttals against what I have to say do not address the fact that we have the largest number of children in our neighborhood, the most accidents, and that the prior public works director said that it's traffic chaos. You are not even dealing with those issues. And those are the issues. You just say, oh, well, you can just turn right. Well, you can't turn right if you can't, if you're pulled up to the side of a car and you can't move at all. So that's just not accurate. So this, my issue that I bring up every time has not been addressed or dealt with. It's been dismissed and ignored.
I understand that's your opinion, Nyla.
Oh, it's a fact. It's not my opinion. It's a fact. There's a difference between opinion and fact, Derek. It's an accurate description of this process.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts. Do we have anybody else in the audience who'd like to provide comment?
This is Rex Capri.
Hi, Rex.
Yeah. Listening to the conversation here tonight, is it a preferred plan to route bicycle and pedestrian down through Nye Beach and then on to Spring Street and Ocean View Drive, and a route that direction? Is that correct, in my understanding?
That's the existing Oregon Coast Scenic Byway, and yes, there are improvements that would to Ocean View that are programmed as part of this plan that would allow cyclists to route down through Nye Beach. And you know, it's an attractive route for persons who are looking to visit Nye Beach and see the ocean.
But you're probably aware, as I think most everybody here, that there gets to be a lot of visitor traffic down there, and especially right down in the heart of Nye Beach, that's not real accommodating for bicycle, pedestrians, and cars, just the way it's designed right now. So my recommendation on Nye Street is a street that's just two blocks west of 101, and it's a fairly straight shot where somebody just trying to transit on a bicycle or even pedestrians and vehicles. To me, it's the most logical and makes the most sense to develop that route there instead of down through Nye Beach. You could have connecting ones from Nye Street that will get you down to Nye Beach area. But and then at the end of Nye Street at 15th on down to 17th, you could actually probably connect a bike route, pedestrian route onto Ocean View Drive and continue on north. It seems like that project would probably be a cheaper one to develop than going all the way down to Nye Beach, Spring Street, Ocean View Drive that way. So that's why I'm recommending that you strongly consider Nye Street as a north-south bypass to 101.
So we have Nye Street in there as well, Rex. They're both Ocean View and Nye Street are programmed for bike ped improvements. Nye has a sidewalk gap project and it's project SW13, and there's a bike lane improvements, which would require parking to come up on one side. That's a bike lane two, or BL2. Those are on what we call the fiscally constrained list, which means that we would expect we'd be able to build those within the planning period that's upcoming, which is a 20-year planning period. There's also a project in there that would connect Nye to Ocean View, providing that kind of 101 bypass, so to speak, or vehicle.
So are you saying this is something that is being considered right now?
Yes, they're in the plan.
Okay, and where is it rated for priority?
They're on what we call the fiscally constrained list. There really is the, and I'd have to look to see there. I think there's a tier designation on them too. I'm not looking at that right now. But if it's in the fiscally constrained package, that's a good thing, Rex, because that means it's something we expect we'll be able to fund.
Okay.
But I can't tell you timings offhand.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right now.
Anybody else who'd like to provide comment? Hi, Jamie, since you just joined, we're in a public comment period. Did you want to provide any comment?
This moment, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. I'm not seeing anybody else who wanted to provide public comment. So if we can move to the next item would be the kind of the next steps, which is where we left off with the slideshow. Carl?
Yeah. So this is a slide from last meeting. So this is the recap of what we refer to as the critical success factors, meaning the reason we put these out there is so that when we're at the end of the process, we want to make sure we've addressed the issues listed here. And we provided this to you last time, and hopefully you had a chance to look at them and see if there are gaps. We think that we've covered all these things to one degree or another, but we're providing this here for your information. I don't know if folks had a chance to look at that and had any comments they wanted to make about that or not. Let's see.
There is a bullet there that refers to transit needs of the community.
Right.
And in all of our discussions, we've rarely mentioned actual Lincoln County transit and bus routes. And I don't you know, there, it doesn't really fit into a project category specifically, but will there be a discussion in the final document about recommended transit improvements over time in coordination with the county?
Yes, the, it's actually in the plan, and it's actually in the, I know you get a lot of tech memos, and you've had to review a lot of tech memos, and the tech memo 12 had the code language that we've developed to date, and that includes some reference there as well. The gist of it is that, you know, we're cross-referencing over to the county's transit plan, which was last updated in 2018, and the code language will require, as new development or redevelopment happens in an area where that plan calls for transit improvements, that they get addressed at that time.
Okay, but we're not proactively suggesting any improvements as part of the project list.
No, we would rely on what's already identified in the transit plan that the county developed.
But they don't have any funding either, right?
They have, I mean, transit is competitive in of itself for state and federal funds. They have a different pool of funds they typically draw from for grants. But, you know, yeah, funding's tight for transportation improvements generally, but there is funding out there for updating and enhancing the transit system.
And this is Kevin again from DKS. I just wanted to add something. So one way that the TSP does address transit is by we're improving access to get to those locations where people access transit. So we're not physically, you know, changing the routes and the, you know, that's more of the county thing, but we are improving the system to get people, to allow people to get to those locations. So that's really where the TSP connects to the transit plan.
Okay.
All right. Is it fair to move on? Because I think the next slide is the motion you put in there, right, Derek?
Could be.
Okay. I'll let you cover this one.
So I've put together some language for you to work with. You don't have to use this, but I thought it'd be helpful to at least put a draft motion out there for your consideration. You know, on this one, you know, I crafted it such that you'd be recommending the draft that you have before you, the February 2022 draft, for adoption to the Planning Commission and City Council, recognizing that there are key project concepts that we've talked about and others in the plan or not in the plan that may you know, be further discussed, refined, and prioritized as part of that public hearings process, which is the adoptions process. So basically the motion would say, hey, look, we think it's complete enough now that Planning Commission, Council, you can start the public hearings process for that would lead to potential adoption.
That looks appropriate. I mean, as indicated in the planning stage, we're just at the very start of it. So it's not like this is the final plan that will be adopted. Recognizing Nyla's concern, there'll be more opportunity for public comment in the Planning Commission and the City Council for and changes can be made at that point. So I think this is appropriate. Get to start.
Yeah, before you do your motion, I did want to touch on a couple of things that have come up. I do want to double back because we haven't spent a lot of time talking about it recently, but you have, you know, the project list, you know, all of the projects that they're in here, they didn't come out of a vacuum. They came out of input we received from the community through the virtual workshops and online open houses and other outreach efforts that were part of this project. They came about as part of the analysis that was done, you know, by the consultants through this process, work with different committees in the city. Planning Commission and City Council have had a chance to have work sessions directly with the consultants. BikePed has had a chance to provide feedback to the process. So they didn't come out of a vacuum, and then we didn't start from scratch. There were a number of project concepts that were already out there in plans of record that were pulled into here as well. So You know, that's just speaking to that that piece of it. The other was a question about parking, and I did want to address that. That's probably more a function of the parking advisory committee that the council was impaneled to work on parking issues in Nye Beach City Center and the Bayfront specifically. We have a whole separate package of parking regulations that dovetail with land use regulations and what level of densities were allowed in certain areas for residential development or, you know, commercial, industrial, so on and so forth, how we manage our public parking assets. So it's the TSP doesn't delve into parking so much, but it's a very valid concern that's been raised. It's just my, you know, that the parking advisory committee is probably the better forum to kind of work through some of those issues.
If I might, Derek, mm-hmm. you know, this, I find it difficult to support a recommendation that this draft be forwarded on for further consideration when we've never seen a single document with everything in it, including the executive summary. And I know the appendices are the technical memoranda, but those go back, some of them, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years. And I'd sort of like to see a single document that is the transportation system plan that we are then recommending be forwarded. And I know that that's a logistical thing, except, of course, for the executive summary. And there's some other content that, you know, placeholder to be written later. It's a little hard to recommend that be forwarded to policymakers when we don't know what it is we're forwarding.
The executive summary, I appreciate your comment, Bob. I understand where you're coming from. You know, the executive summary it, by its nature can't contain stuff that's not in the plan. So, I mean, they're just gonna be summarizing, you know, what some of the key elements are that are in the plan that's before you at this point in time.
Well, again, there are some, not contentious, but there are some open items. And depending on how those are presented in the executive summary, because quite honestly, there are going to be a lot of policymakers and public that are not going to read the entire document. They're going to read the executive summary. And it would be nice to know that that was fair, that presented a fair representation of those things that we don't have unanimous agreement on. So okay. I don't know if there's some mechanism where that a single document could be distributed and then we could remotely via something equivalent to a doodle poll process that kind of a motion. But I'm not really prepared to vote for it at this point because we just don't have the whole thing in one package. That's just my opinion. So I'd be curious what other people think about it.
Well, this is Ralph. I think you bring up a pretty good point. The executive summary does tend to tilt people one way or the other because you're right that they don't read the whole thing. So I think you've got a valid point, Bob.
I tend to agree too. I think an executive summary, the reason we have them is they are really useful and they are what people read. And I think he's got a valid point.
So you guys up for one more meeting? Because that's what it will take. And Carl and company need to get that piece prepared so you have a chance to review it, discuss it, and then make your recommendation at that point.
I'm okay with that. This is Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that too.
And I agree also.
I'm fine with that.
Certainly I am.
I agree with that also.
Okay.
I'll go with the group.
Okay. What I'll do is plan on setting up a poll, just get a last date set for that. And then we'll go from there.
Okay.
I believe that's the end of the slides, right?
I don't know if you had any others on that list. So
no, it was just a placeholder for the public comment.
Eric, could I clarify that? Do we need to hold another in-person meeting like this, or can we do it electronically as suggested? I wasn't clear on that.
We're going to need to hold another public meeting where the group can discuss the executive summary. They may have comments. They may want to discuss elements of it. They may ask for changes to it before they'll make a recommendation. I don't think that can be effectively done outside of a actual meeting of the group.
Okay, thanks for clarification.
I think that's all we had tonight. Thanks everybody for your feedback.
Thanks,
hey Carl, on the organization of the maps, can you go the geographic route on that? While you're doing the executive summary, you might as well make that change too.
You mean the project list?
Project list that was discussed.
Yeah.
The matchup of the maps.
Right.
That's an excellent idea.
I think all things are possible from what I understand, right? Right, Kevin?
Yeah,
Kevin might have passed out.
Everything's possible.
Yeah, that we can certainly accommodate that.
What I'll do is I'll double back with Carl and get his schedule for getting the executive summary prepared and the maps adjusted, and then we'll send out a poll to everybody and potential dates for a ninth meeting.
Yeah. I would suggest that to the extent possible that everybody provide comments in advance of the meeting so that can be posted so we can at the meeting not be surprised by what someone else is saying.
Yeah.
Have comments and also comments back, basically an online discussion beforehand. So hopefully at the next meeting we can accomplish what we're trying to do here and get a recommendation out.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
I think that's all we have. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Derek. Mm-hmm.